City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. I had to pause for the dramatic effect.
Love that.
How have you been, Stephen? I feel like I think we just talked about it before we got on the call, but I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, you've been traveling. We've had these episodes of the podcast kind of backlogged from a recording at ABCA, so we haven't met as regular as we usually do, and we've had a bunch of stuff going on our end and the Marcom Communications Creative end too, with our sitting teams in town, and we're preparing for the Women's National Team Open program as well. So,
didn't you guys just have a what was it, a digital and comms conference? At the USLPC Museum?
Yep, we got to...
That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, we met with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, as well as several other national governing bodies under that umbrella, and just had a great conference, talking about marketing and digital media, talking about best practices, getting a little preview of Paris a little bit, talk very, very early steps, just a lot of information about, what it's going to look like, and getting us up to speed on more communication to come. But kind of got me a little bit excited. I can't believe it's just around the corner, basically, for Paris. It's exciting.
That's good to hear. So you said it was only centered around, not only centered around, but kind of primarily focused around just that Paris kind of,
Second day. Second day was all about Paris. We had some presenters from NBC there as well, talking about some kind of their bigger overarching plans and their timeline moving forward that we can kind of help and get involved in. That was the second day. The first day was just hearing from other NGBs. We heard from Equestrian on one of the panels, and they talked a lot about their social media strategy and how they've grown and stuff like that. We had it was I think that first day was just a lot of like networking and getting to know a lot of the newer faces around too. A lot of people I haven't met yet. So I was really excited to get to talk to some people that I haven't met yet. We had a couple staffers from badminton at my table. So that was fun to get to know them. They were from out of town too. So they're not local in Colorado Springs. So it was good to meet people and network. And hopefully as we prepare for Paris, just help each other out and support each other and talk about things that are working and learn from each other.
That sounds really cool. It sounds like it was like the digital media version of the ABCA conference in Omaha.
Yeah,
really got a chance to kind of dig in and dive deep there. I am jealous because I really want to see the indoor events or just the events portion or version of that where, everybody gets together and talks through that kind of things too. Cause I mean, I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, but a lot of NGBs, like USA Volleyball and USA Fencing, for example, we go to the same cities for, and we're in the same convention centers a lot of the time too. And I would love to see, their planning process and, what logistical things they take into consideration for their event, how we can, bounce ideas off and help each other. But yeah. And it sounds good too that, it's really good that, the whole department was there, right?
Laura. Yeah,
Kyle, I almost said Kyle. Sorry.
Kyle was there.
We missed you. Kyle was there?
Kyle was there. Yeah.
Love that.
Representing triathlon. He was there. He was at my table both days, actually. So it was good to catch up with Kyle, one of our old podcast members, original podcast members on this team. So yeah, it was good to catch up with him.
Yeah. But, Laura and Curtis, you guys are there too, right? Yes, I'm bringing you two in the conversation now.
they were there. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's real cool. Yeah. I've just been coaching and more coaching. And on top of that, you know, kind of just got back from Salt Lake City versus Salt Lake City 18 showdown. So that
About that. How'd the showdown go?
You know, it went really well. We had plenty of space in the meeting halls and the convention center halls, which is really good too. So we were able to really space out the courts and, you know, make our championship courts really noticeable and, you know, stand out-ish, so I would say. But I mean, a very intimate event. We had, I believe, just over 100 teams at that. But awesome. Really good competition. Really, really, really good competition. I mean, the 18 open level was insane. I mean, wow. This you can tell why a lot of those players are already committed. And I heard we got a lot of good feedback from a lot of the coaches there on the experience. And you know, just kind of bleeding into Sunshine Classic, you know, Orlando coming up and, you know, bigger Salt Lake City showdown in April. So just going to keep it rolling and fingers crossed for good events across the board this year.
Yeah, I think I saw one of your videos. I think you posted on Instagram story or something, a great rally between two of the teams there competing. Just showed in that one 15 second clip, the competition level there. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Good time.
Speaking of Sunshine, I'm excited for that too. I will be there, I think the second week, is that right? March, the March 3rd,
the March 5th, weekend, or yeah,
3rd through 6th, something like that.
I will be back in Colorado Springs.
No,
that time I gotta go weekend one, but you got the busier weekend, so best of luck to you there. There'll be a lot of good competition there, but yeah, sucks. We're missing weekends there. I think that's going to be the case for a lot of events. But I hear you'll be at Opens, right?
I will not be at Opens.
No, Curtis is at Opens.
Curtis will be at Opens. Confused. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, if you wanted to get at Opens, we can try to bring you in on our budget. You know, just you didn't hear that from me.
Sneaking a little stowaway maybe.
I mean the more Marcom help there, the better. I mean, this is really going to be a good and a exciting rebuild year for Open. So we can definitely talk about that if you want to, you know, try to tag along to you. So you and Curtis can tag team it and have some fun there.
Maybe talk off screen there about that. I'll get in a suitcase or something. Maybe your people talk to my people. Yeah. Completely changing gears right here really quick before 100%. We get into the episode, but just wanted to show this off.
Ooh, what is that?
You got that is the official USA Volleyball Show mug, one of our new merch items. Shout out to Bree, our marketing coordinator here at the USA Volleyball Show. But yeah, I think the first time we're showing the mug on screen. Oh, yes. Maybe we had it on for Michelle's
first time we're promoting it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was on the set in the studio for Michelle's interview as well with you and Michelle. That was cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a solid mug. I really like it.
I haven't used mine yet.
Coffee in it this morning.
I got to put some tea in mine. But yeah, those are a really good addition to the show. It just shows our progress that we've been making through, April of 2021 all the way up until now.
I know. Wow. Not officially available to the public yet, but maybe down the road we will have those available and possibly maybe just some random giveaways here and there. But no promises yet, nothing planned yet. So don't get too excited, but just keep an eye out. We might see them around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, let's jump right into the episode here. We wasted enough time, Clarence. But, it's great to see you again after, like we mentioned, a long time of being apart. So excited to get this episode up and running here. First off, in case you missed it, we had U.S. Women's Sitting National Team Assistant Coach Michelle Goodall on our last episode. Michelle talks about the upcoming season, how important qualification is for the sitting teams. And also we chat with her about beach paravolley and how that's been growing. If you're interested in learning more about the sport, about the U.S. Women's Sitting National Team, about beach paravolley, tune into that episode, our latest episode. If you're an athlete out there who's listening, who might want to learn more about playing and how they can get involved in sitting volleyball and possibly getting involved in joining the pipeline to the national team there, contact Michelle. You can check our website at usavolleyball.org for those other contacts with Beach Pair Volley and the sitting volleyball teams, you can listen to that episode on all podcast platforms, or you can watch it and see Clarence's beautiful face on screen on our YouTube, USA Volleyball YouTube channel. So check that out if you haven't already. But let's keep going, keep rolling here with news with Hughes.
Immediately hitched it there on that comment there, but I appreciate it though. All right. The 2023 USA Volleyball Mountain Classic Boys Junior National Qualifier is coming to Denver. That's right, Denver, Colorado, on December 1st through the 3rd at the Colorado Convention Center. This event will be a qualifier for the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship on June 26th through July 3rd in Dallas, Texas. Continuing to look ahead, USA Volleyball has selected Kansas City, Missouri to host the 2025 Girls Junior National Championship for the 11 through 13 age divisions on June 21st through the 24th and the Kansas City Convention and Entertainment Center. Excuse me there. Huge shout out to U.S. Beach National Team pair Sarah Hughes and friend of the pod Kelly Chang for winning the Volleyball World Beach Pro Tour Finals this past week in Doha, Qatar. As we mentioned in the previous episode, beach paravolley was submitted to the IPC to become a Paralympic sport at the LA 28 Games. Unfortunately, we got word that it was not accepted into the LA 28 Paralympic Games, but that does not mean the end for beach paravolley. This only means they'll keep building on it in hopes of competing at the Brisbane 32 Games. But overall, like Michelle mentioned in her episode, beach paravolley has been growing tremendously and has made a lot of strides in the past couple of years of its just building and growing of the sport too. So just very, very, very excited and optimistic to see what the future holds for the beach paravolley program. More on these and all other news items at usavolleyball.org.
Now, on to today's show. We haven't mentioned yet, but this month in February, we will have three episodes back to back, three straight weeks of new episodes, all featuring regional commissioners, USA Volleyball regional commissioners that we got to talk to at the ABCA convention back in December. So kicking off this, I was about to say this month, but I guess so. Kicking off this month, this week.
Yeah.
We are welcoming Cody March from the Columbia Empire Volleyball Association, or AKA the CEBA region. He is the commissioner of that region. Like I mentioned, back in December, we sat down with a few of our USA Volleyball regional commissioners at the ABCA convention. We chat with them, all of them, about their region successes, you know, a lot of the wins that they've had over the last few years. Some of the trends they're seeing with just the growth of volleyball in their specific regions. And so much more. These are very, informational, impactful conversations that we've had with them. If you're a club director out there, if you're someone who's looking into volleyball, who, you know, hasn't had much experience in it, but wants to play, you know, but doesn't know where to find a club or what, you know, where to find their region. This episode is for you. If you're a parent out there who has a kid who wants to play, this episode is for you. So stay tuned. Here he is. Cody, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us. We have Cody March with the Columbia Empire region here today with us. And really, I know it's a busy week for everybody here, but really appreciate having you on the podcast.
Thanks for the invitation. I really appreciate it. I'm happy to sit down and talk to you guys.
Yeah, exciting. Now we're at ABCA, the American Volleyball Coaches Association convention. Did I get that acronym right again?
Yes, you did.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So far, so good all week. what's your experience been like here? You know, we talked briefly before we started recording. You like networking with the coaches and talking to especially ones, you know, in your region. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just kind of want to get your thoughts on your experience so far.
The experience is great. I love coming to this every year. It's the best professional development opportunity for anybody in the volleyball world, in my opinion. Whether you're a coach, just an administrator, a leader, whatever you may be, there's always something here that you can take out. And for me, going to sessions on coaching isn't really applicable because I'm not a coach, but going to sessions about diversity and inclusion, culture, mindset, how we learn, administrative stuff, building programs, that's all stuff that can be applicable to us in some way, shape, or mm-hmm. form. And so what I really like doing is taking little tidbits out of those and then seeing how I can apply those in my region. And that's the best part of this.
You touched on a few already, but what have been some of your favorite or standout sessions and presentations that you've been at today?
One of the best sessions that I was in was yesterday, and it was a joint session between the AVCA and PAVO, Professional Association of Volleyball Officials. You know, it's talking building a coalition.
Was Patty in there?
I don't know if Patty was in there.
She's a little busy right now.
She might be a little busy. Yeah.
Just a tad.
Right. But it was talking about how, you know, how can coaches and officials work together to grow the game, and how can coaches make themselves more aware of what their behavior can do to impact the retention and recruitment of officials. Mm-hmm. And that was a really cool thing. And so they talked a lot about what can we do at the grassroots level. And so I was in there with Jen Armson Dyer from Badger Region, and we actually just went up and told them, hey, some of this grassroots stuff that we're talking about here, come work with us, because we'll implement that stuff. Like, we're the boots on the ground, so we can do that stuff right now. So let's talk, let's work together. And that was a great session.
I want to get back to that officials, because I want to ask you, like, how's the officials development in SIVA? Mm-hmm. But really quickly, want to hear about your background a little bit, what your volleyball journey has been.
My volleyball journey has been that I got into this completely on accident.
That's a first. Okay.
Yep. It's going to be a good story. Let's hear.
Yeah. So my background is not in volleyball. I've never coached. I've never played. When I was in college, doing my undergrad at Oregon State, I was a manager for the basketball team.
Okay.
And I had gotten to know our head coach, our volleyball head coach, who was Terry Laskevich at the time, got to know him in passing a little bit. And after my senior year in basketball, we got to talking, and he invited me to be a manager with his team. Mm-hmm. Didn't know the first thing about the sport, no idea, but I said, why not? And that led to 8 years in Oregon State's program. And then in 2015, I moved to SIVA, became their ops director for 4 years. And then in 2019, I became the executive director.
So, oh, awesome.
Again, completely by accident.
Do you get out on the court at all and play now?
No, you don't want me anywhere near the court.
Save that for the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm going to be anywhere near a court, I'm going to be statting it.
Okay.
I'm going to be analyzing it, but I'm not going to be playing. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So kind of going into a little bit more about, you know, your region, you know, how many clubs do you have? What are your membership numbers like? Yep. You know, do you have just any just general information about your region that you just want to share?
Yeah. This year has been a bumper crop year for us in the region. We currently have 93 clubs that are active. We just crossed 8,000 members, which I think might be the first time we've ever crossed 8,000 members in the region.
That's great news.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
It's great. It's a 28% growth year over year, last year to this year. And that's been great. We host about 30 to 35 events each year, and we are a staff of three. So we are very hands-on, and we are nose to the grindstone in the office, because that's what we like to do.
So you kind of mentioned like being a staff of three, and in our other interviews with, you know, region commissioners, you know, they kind of touched on the struggles during COVID. And, you know, just that 2020 unfortunate shutdown and all those unfortunate events that happened too. How did that affect your region?
Oh, man.
You know, your staff of three, small region.
Yeah. So in the Pacific Northwest, we were very conservative with restrictions and whatnot. And that's just what it was. So, you know, the pandemic kind of started emerging in March of 20, and we immediately had facilities that were shutting down, clubs that were stopping. So we actually shut down the season, and that's just what it was. There wasn't a whole lot we could do, and that was just the reality. So I was lucky that, you know, my staff of three stayed intact. We were able to keep everybody on, so that was really fortunate for us. And then we finally got back into it in spring of 21, when the restrictions kind of started lifting, you could kind of start having people back in the gym, no spectators, but we were able to get players back in the gym for a really limited season in 21. So that was a positive, but there was 13 months of no real play.
You mentioned your record membership numbers, but what other wins have you witnessed or have you seen in your region?
I think the biggest win, and we kind of just touched on it with COVID, the biggest win for us is that we are going to come out of the pandemic stronger than we went into it. And I count that as a win for us, because going into the pandemic, we had solid membership numbers, but we didn't have the membership numbers that we're seeing now. So when I look at us from a culture standpoint, from a membership standpoint, just from a statistical standpoint, we're better off now despite the pandemic. And that for me is a huge win.
Sounds like there's a, you know, very tight knit volleyball community, you know, within your region and in general. Mm-hmm. What are some just good things that you've noticed, you know, within that community, whether it's, you know, support or, you know, something that happens at tournaments or just in general?
Yeah, I think when you talk about the community, particularly in SIVA, one of the best things we see in SIVA is that all of our clubs are trying to create a really inclusive environment, and they're trying to make it so anybody who wants to come and play can come and play. And we have clubs who are being really intentional about creating safe spaces for anybody from any background. We have clubs that are really trying to break down those financial barriers, because we all know that, you know, money is an issue. Club volleyball is an expensive sport at times. So getting those barriers broken down has been great. So we're seeing that a lot in SIVA as well. And that's been a great thing from a community standpoint, I think.
Yeah. Kind of going back to your record membership numbers. We're in a busy convention center right now. We got some foot traffic coming through, but that's okay. That's okay. Talking about your record membership numbers, what are some ways that SIVA is bringing more athletes into the game? Are you kind of starting at that grassroots level, clinics, anything like that? What are some ways you're growing the game in your region?
Yeah, we've really tried to start getting back into the community and trying to partner with local organizations, particularly in the Portland area, to do things like free clinics for elementary school kids and really trying to work with our clubs to help them break down those barriers that I was mentioning before. You know, clubs can't do it all. We can't do it all. So it's got to be both of us working and pulling on the same end of the rope. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that has helped our growth is just the fact that our scholarship funds have been really successful at a region level. This year, in going back to a win, this year we gave out over $30,000 in financial aid to student athletes in need.
Yeah.
That's not unique to our region necessarily, but it's the most we've ever been able to give out. So being able to help support student athletes in their quest to play club volleyball, no matter the level, that's a big thing for us, and that's helped the growth.
That's great.
Were you going to say something, sir?
Well, just kind of speaking more on growth, what are, I guess, in your perspective, what are some of the driving factors for the growth of volleyball overall in the U.S.?
I think the number one thing is exposure.
Yeah.
You know, having, you know, we're at the ABCA convention, the Final Four or Division I National Championship, and having that on ESPN, on the ESPN platform. I saw something the other day that said that the semis were the second most watched volleyball event on the ESPN platforms ever.
And I think the live attendance was like over 16,000.
And the live attendance was over 16,000. Last year in Columbus, I think it was over 20.
Wow.
I mean, just that alone, I think, is driving growth significantly. It's not the only factor, but it's a big factor. Getting the sport on primetime television, getting the sport into places like, you know, places like these types of arenas. We're playing in basketball arenas, we're playing in hockey arenas, and we're filling them. So that tells me right there that growth is happening, and you just have to let people see it.
Yeah, definitely exciting. Yeah, for sure.
Just kind of on the same topic here, you know, USA Volleyball, you know, in your region, and, you know, just in like the goal is always to, you know, help grow the game and work together doing it and be cohesive and listen to each other and stuff too. Are there things that, you know, we can be doing, you know, in the national office here with USA Volleyball? Like, you know, I'm an event manager and help on the indoor side of things too. You know, Curtis and Steven here are on the, you know, Marcom creative side of things and, you know, helping to kind of keep things going through all things social media. Other things that we can be doing to, you know, support not only your region but the regions in general that, you know, you may haven't seen or things that you have seen and, you know, would like to do more of. Just how can we continue to, you know, help each other?
Boy, that's a great question. I think what I would point to first and foremost is just continuing to have the lines of communication open and understanding where both of our strengths and weaknesses are. You know, as the regions, we're very much at the grassroots level. USA Volleyball, you know, whether it's right or wrong, USA Volleyball is focused on national teams and winning medals and whatnot, and that's fine. And then and somebody has to focus on that. But I think we can both help each other, particularly with the grassroots, you know, real basic stuff, community-based stuff.
Absolutely.
I think that's where USA Volleyball could lend a hand to the regions, particularly the regions who don't have the staff that I'm fortunate to have and who don't have the resources, the board, the committee that I'm fortunate to have. That's where the game's going to grow. The game's not going to grow with, you know, at the older ages. It's going to grow at the grassroots level. So I think if USA Volleyball is committed to growing the game, which I truly believe you are, I would like to see more grassroots interaction from the national office and working with the regions to make that grassroots interaction happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of going off grassroots, if there's a parent of an athlete who the athlete really wants to play volleyball or get into volleyball, specifically in your region, what are the steps they take? How can they find a club and all that?
Really easy. All they have to do is go to our website, and we have a list of all of our active clubs on our website. Right on the homepage, there's a link to both girls and boys, or our contact information is on the website right on the front. Just give us a call, and we'll point them in the right direction. We have relationships with all of our clubs. We'll point them in the right direction.
Awesome. What are, you mentioned like your staff, earlier, but who are some of the, I guess, influential people in the region? Not just your staff, but just, you know, maybe club directors or coaches who are doing great things in your region to help grow the sport, kind of both on the girls and boys side.
No, I think I would point first to those individuals that are in my administrative structure. So my board, my committees, because they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes that no one really notices. For better or for worse, and I would say probably for worse, I'm kind of the face just due to my position.
For sure.
But my successes are not my successes. My successes are our successes. And so when the board gets something done or a committee puts on a great tournament, something like that, that's our success. And they don't get the credit for it necessarily. So, you know, I think that I could point to a lot of different club directors. I could point to a lot of different individuals, but I would say just in general, committees, board. And then I know there's also a lot of club directors out there that are doing a lot of good things. Probably too many to name here.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of going in, you know, same book, a little bit of a different direction slash chapter, but back to the whole officials conversation here too. You know, we know we're in official shortage right now too, and, you know, struggling getting them to events and all that stuff here too. Is SIVA doing anything to just really help promote or help, you know, retain and really grow the official side of things?
Yeah, we are. We have really taken the breaking down barriers mantra for officiating as well as for players, because for officials to get in to the sport, there's a lot of startup costs. They have to do a membership. They have to do background screens. They have to buy all their equipment, their shirt, their pants, their you know, cards, coins, whatever. So we're doing our best to try and provide a lot of that for them. And the biggest thing that we have really tried to clamp down on a little bit is just making it a safer environment for everybody, officials included. So we have tried to give them more tools in their toolbox to help make sure that we're creating the safest and most positive environment that we can create. Because if it's a safe environment for the players, then it's going to be a safe environment for the officials too.
Are you doing anything to get younger officials into officiating? Definitely. Maybe like working with club teams or anything like that?
Definitely. We've been much more intentional this year about reaching out to local colleges, reaching out to clubs and asking them, hey, do you have a player that might be interested in this? We've given our officials little bag tags that they, if they see a kid who's a great line judge or a great R2 or a coach who's a great R1, go up and give them a bag tag and say, hey, do you want to be an official? Here's how you do it. Learn more. And by the way, strap this on your bag because that means you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing for us is we've been trying to bring visibility to the path of officiating. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think that when they're done playing, that's it. It's either we're playing, we're coaching, or that's it. And that's not the case because they can officiate. They can still be involved in the game. They can meet great people and they can make a little bit of money on the side. And I don't think there's enough awareness of that right now. So we're trying to bring more light to that.
Why should a either an athlete who's considering, you know, trying out the game of volleyball or, you know, a current volleyball player who's, you know, just finishing their club career or high school career or such, get involved with either playing volleyball or being an official within your region?
I think volleyball at its core is a very social sport. And so the main reason that I would point to, no matter the age or no matter the role, is you're going to meet great people. You're going to meet friends for life. I can speak for myself personally. I've met some of the best people I've ever known in volleyball. And we all know that when a younger kid gets into club volleyball, they're probably not doing it because they expect a college scholarship in 6 or 7 years. They're doing it because their friends are playing. They're doing it because their classmates are playing or they heard good things about X, Y, or Z. So I think for me, one of the biggest reasons to get involved is because you're going to meet people for life. You're going to meet friends for life. And that's a huge benefit right there.
Yeah. Yeah. This weekend's kind of a testament to that too. Just the whole volleyball community, coaches, club directors, educators all together in one space. And you just kind of, you run into people you haven't seen in a long time and
totally.
It's like, and you never left. Yeah,
totally. And I think the pandemic has emphasized that even more because when we were in the pandemic, we weren't seeing each other face to face. It was all Zoom interaction.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's one of the things that you can attribute our growth to a little bit too, is the fact that people just want to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. They just want to have human interaction again.
Yeah.
And for a long time, we didn't have that. So that now you're seeing a little bit more of because of the pandemic and because of the circumstances we've been in for a long time.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about being a USA Volleyball Regional Commissioner or even like just being involved in volleyball? Like, what's your favorite part about that?
Ooh.
Going off script here.
No.
You can give a top three if there's a lot.
Boy, that's a great question. I think my favorite thing about being involved in volleyball in general is, I think I've already said it, it's the people.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't play the sport, so I can't say that that's my favorite part of it. But just the people, the mentorship, the connections that you create, the community that you create in volleyball. I don't know that it's unique necessarily to you know, volleyball versus other sports, but it's really impactful here, I think. I think my favorite thing about being a regional commissioner is maybe a little bit of the same. It's getting to work with some of the best people that I've ever worked with. My staff is right there. I am blessed because I go to work every day with my friends.
Yeah.
And that's not something that a lot of people can say. So we deal with a lot of you know what on a daily basis in the office. It makes it a heck of a lot easier when you're doing it alongside your friends and alongside people you're trusting, alongside people who are loyal, alongside people who have your back, just like you have theirs. I think that's probably my favorite part, is just working with the people that I work with. And I count my staff among them. I count other commissioners among them. I count USA Volleyball staff among them. That's been the best part for me.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're surrounded by people who care as much as you do and are passionate as much as you, bring that same energy.
Yeah.
It makes it all worth it. And all the stuff you go through on the way doesn't matter after that.
I'm a big culture guy.
Yeah.
And I know culture is really a nebulous term. You know, culture can be defined in so many different ways, but having that culture in the region, on your board, in the office, having the culture and the same values that you're all fighting for makes it a heck of a lot easier for us.
Yeah.
I think we're getting close to kind of the tail end of the interview, but you know, before we wrap things up, is there anything that, you know, you maybe want to touch on that we didn't cover, or anything you want to let, you know, the viewers know about?
No, I don't think there's anything massive. I think it's just, you know, communication is key for us. That is one of our core values. And so, you know, we've touched on communication between like USA Volleyball and the regions, or within the region or whatnot. I think just continuing to work together is what's going to grow the game. And there's so many, you know, there's so many different organizations out there that are doing the same things and trying to do the same things, getting into the same spaces that we're in. We're all going after the same goal. We all want kids to play. We all want adults to play. So just working together, collaboration, community, that's going to grow the game, and that's what's going to make us be successful.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cody. This has been great. I hope our listeners, I think they do, they got a good glimpse of what goes on in a region and what you do as a commissioner and your staff and everyone that works with you in the region.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Awesome conversation with Cody. He was our very last interview at the ABCA convention. We were exhausted. I think we did like 7 podcast interviews before that. We were running around at the NCAAs, but having him there, and he came a little bit early too. He was at lunch and he was like, I can come a little early, and met us at the convention center. But just as soon as he sat down, you could just feel the energy and the passion he has for running his region, the SEVA region, and the excitement that he showed just talking about it and everything they're doing and the successes that he's seen, the growth of volleyball that he's seen over the last couple of years, few years being there in SEVA. But I really, him talking about the grassroots, their efforts growing the game from the grassroots and up, was really interesting. And, you know, he talked a little bit about the popularity of the sport, at least, you know, from the coverage that the women's game is getting at the collegiate level too, and how that's affecting grassroots and helping grow grassroots. So from the word go, just sitting down, you could just feel how excited he was to just talk about everything that he's doing and then his staff is doing at SEVA.
Oh yeah, 100% agree with that. And, you know, I personally like how, you know, he doesn't have that volleyball background, and
right,
you know, he's just, we even offered to, you know, step on the court with him one day. He said, oh no, that is not my house. But I mean, it really goes to show that, you know, you can be a region commissioner, or you can be a very influential, you know, volleyball, you know, figure in the volleyball world, whether it's across one of our 40 regions or in one of our national offices here, and impact the game of volleyball substantially. So that's something you don't need to, like, you know, necessarily have. And that's not necessarily something that's going to hold you back. And he's a prime example of somebody who genuinely cares about his region, cares about the game, cares about growing both to the best of, you know, his and his staff's ability, and, you know, all of those region members' abilities too. So just again, really, really, really great conversation. And, you know, if you ever wanted to sit down with us after, you know, after ABCA, after this podcast, you know, airs, and talk about, you know, more things within the game of volleyball or just life, I'd be more than happy to have that conversation. Cody was a great, great person to just get to know.
Yeah. The what you're going to hear from this episode, we've already heard it, but from our next two episodes with our region commissioners, is just the growth of the game all around. And that includes officials, the officiating side of the game as well. We had Patty Rolfe on a few episodes back, and she talked a little bit about that too. But just to hear what the regions are doing specifically is super cool. And so you'll hear a lot more about that from our other conversations with our next two guests from the RVAs. But just it's pretty rare for us to talk with the RBAs, to hear directly from the commissioners and what they're doing. And again, as I pitched in the intro, if you're out there, you're listening to this episode and you're not sure where to start in getting involved in volleyball, whether you want to play it or whether you want to be an official, whether you want to be a coach or just even a volunteer and just help out, you know, with running tournaments. They need help running tournaments all across the US and in all regions. So if you're out there and you just want to get involved, maybe your daughter, your son plays and you just want to help out, reach out to your local RBA and or local club. You know, probably start with the RBA and just find the clubs in your area and find one that you want to get involved in, or maybe try out for one of those clubs. So that's how you start, is finding your RBA. And you can find your RBA on our website, usavolleyball.org. And then from there, you'll find their contact information, reach out to them. And from there, they will set you up and find a spot for you. So great information from Cody, great conversation with Cody. And like you said, would love to have him on again and just get more, you know, more in depth in some of those topics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that wraps it up, very, very well. So I don't think there's much more for me to kind of touch base on, but again, thank you so much, to you, Cody March, of the SEBA region, for sitting down with us, especially, you know, with your busy schedule at ABCA. Everybody had 40,000 things going on, you know, just running around, just absorbing information like a sponge and just networking and everything in between. But be sure to stay tuned this month, as we will be chatting with a few of our other USA Volleyball Region Commissioners, as it is Region Commissioner Month this February. Now,
love that.
On to upcoming events. Now we'll go ahead and take it away and throw it over to Steven. I totally forgot what I said last week, but I'll catch you.
You said you'd go ahead and take it away. I was like, all right, go ahead. You got it.
So take it away and throw it back to Steven.
Here we go. Kicking things off with the USA Volleyball SCVA Winter Series number 2, February 11th in Hermosa Beach, California. The 2023 SSOVA's February St. Pete Beach Tournament, February 12th in St. Pete Beach, Florida. The 2023 Boys Atlantic Northeastern National Qualifier Week 1, February 11th through the 13th in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. I hope I pronounced that right. I think I got it. I think I nailed it. The 2023 Dennis LaFada Gateway Boys National Qualifier, February 11th through the 13th in St. Louis, Missouri. Good luck to everyone competing in those events. And again, we talked about it all episode, but this one especially, we want to make sure we mention this, but shout out to all the USAB region setting up and hosting those events. A lot of work, a lot of moving parts go into getting those events off the ground. So thank you so much for doing that. And it couldn't be done without you. More details on all upcoming events can be found at usavolleyball.org.
Just a few indoor club event reminders. Registration is still open for those looking for a spot to compete in a national qualifier this year. Salt Lake City Showdown going on April 10th and April 14th through 16th. As of right now, there is still no wait list, but a lot of teams pending. So if you are interested, get your team signed up, get your team registered and complete those requirements ASAP so we can get you in and accepted as soon as possible. Also, for our adults, shout out to Adult Volleyball. Registration is up and open for our Open National Championships in Dallas, Texas this year. Hello, PK. How are you doing today?
Hey, PK.
I am very excited for Open this year. Another year of growth, another year of rebuilding. And, you know, I'm just going to say a few things here. You do not want to miss some of the features that we're going to be having at the tournament this year. We're really just trying to grow and make it an experience for all the adults this year. And I'm also going to try to play. I know. I'm also going to try to play. PK. Oh, God. Okay, we're good. So he just almost took off with his leg caught between my headphone wire. And that would have been bad if my whole
Hey, this is going to be a video episode, so the fans will see that. We'll get to meet PK for the first time.
That'd be perfect. But yeah, good luck to all teams traveling to national and regional qualifiers this weekend and, you know, future weekends to come. Sign up for Opens if you haven't done that already. More information on dates, divisions, deadlines, roster information, all that can be found on usavolleyball.org.
Remember, listeners, you can rate and review, share with friends, family, teammates. It really helps this podcast grow. Curtis Ward, our producer, just sent out a message this morning. We've hit over 35,000 downloads. Incredible. And we're approaching 2 years in April doing this podcast. So really exciting to see the podcast grow. And it couldn't be done without you. So thank you for that. And now you can check out our episodes on video episodes on the website and our YouTube channel. So check out those. You get a little bit more like the little PK cameos like that. So you get a little bit more out of the episodes. But again, thank you so much for all your support. Do you know a club or an athlete who has a great story that should be featured on this podcast? You can email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Leave us feedback. Let us know about any future topics that you want to hear about, that you want us to talk about, discuss, maybe bring an athlete on to discuss with us. Let us know. Again, you can email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Reminder, we will have new episodes 3 weeks straight in February. Like Clarence mentioned, this is Region Commissioner Week, RVA Week, with the podcast here in February, starting with this one. So two more episodes over the next couple of weeks. And until next time, you are listening to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.